Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. As your Holy Spirit spoke to the prophets of old, speak to us now through your word, that by listening to your voice, we too will make a way for your hope to come into the world. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 through 55. If you would like to read along, please turn to page 831 in your pew Bible or page 202 in the story Bible. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Children, to be making your way forward for just a moment together, just a few days before Christmas. You've got a West End t-shirt on. I love it. Good morning. Good to see everybody. Have a seat here, Dex. This is for me. Thank you, Penelope. I will look forward to reading that. Thank you very much. How many of you have a baby sister or brother? Anybody have a baby sister or brother? Yeah, a few of you. Well, I think all of you just saw little baby Grayson, right, that we baptized, and we walked him down the aisle, and you may have noticed how little he was. Well, little babies need a lot of help. They need people to help them with everything. Babies need to be fed. They can't lift up spoons and forks or feed themselves. They need somebody to help them dress. They need somebody to change their diapers. And they need somebody to rock them and hold them and help them feel safe and go to sleep. And as we think about Christmas, we're about to celebrate the birth of Jesus, right? What day is Christmas this week, do you know? Wednesday, that's right. It's almost here. And Jesus came into the world as a little bitty baby, just like little baby Grayson. And he needed somebody to hold him, and he needed people to feed him and dress him and take care of him. And this morning, we're talking about Mary, Jesus' mother. And I just found myself feeling really grateful for Mary and for Joseph, who gave so much of their lives to loving Jesus and taking care of every need so that he could be safe and grow up strong and grow up in a loving household. So today, will you join me in saying a prayer and let's say thanks to God for Mary. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, you love us so much that you came into the world to be with us. And you came as a little bitty baby, totally dependent on your parents and other people to care for baby Jesus. So we thank you today for Mary and for Joseph, who gave so much of their love to baby Jesus and helped him grow up to save the world. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, be sure and say thank you to the people who take care of you in your lives. And 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds and kindergartners can go to Children's Church. I have to begin this morning with a confession. This is a hard sermon for me to pull together. This is one of those sermons that I just wrestled with and had a hard time getting it together. If you know, a little bit of inside scoop on how I do my sermons typically, I usually spend some time on Monday mornings reading the text, praying about it, just opening myself to whatever God might lift from the text that I think might connect with where we are as a congregation. And then on Tuesday morning, we have a Bible study here at the church and on Zoom, if you ever want to join us. And we just look at the text for Sunday, and I hear what other people are hearing in the story, and it always is a tremendous help as I work on my own message. And then I let it stew, and I pray, and I think. And then on Friday afternoon, after lunch, I leave the office, and I go somewhere, and I walk. And I start talking and composing my sermon. So if you ever see me somewhere out in public on a Friday afternoon, and I look like I'm talking to myself, you'll know I'm doing this for all of us. I'm working on a sermon. Well, this past Friday, I went to McCabe Park, just over this way. I started my walk, and I thought I knew what I wanted to say. I thought I knew what the point of my sermon was going to be. But it didn't quite land. So where I wanted to land, where I wanted to start, was with this idea that Mary is a prophet. And I believe that is true. In our sermon series during Advent, we've been listening to the voices of some of the ancient Hebrew prophets as they spoke a word of truth to their people, a word that we read with hope as we anticipate the birth of Christ and the coming again of Christ into the world. But here on this Sunday, we hear the voice of Mary. And when we think of the prophets of Israel, these are people who stood up at a particular moment in history and spoke a word of truth, spoke the word of the Lord, proclaimed what God was up to in the world in that moment. And that's exactly what Mary does in this Magnificat, this song that she sings or that she speaks out loud. She is proclaiming to the world that God, through this choice of her to bear the Christ child into the world, is turning everything upside down. The announcement of this great reversal, that God is lifting up the lowly and bringing down the mighty, that God is scattering the proud in the imagination of their hearts, that God is filling the hungry with good things and sending the rich away empty. And in this way, she's very much in line with the prophets of old. How often have we heard the prophets crying out against the people of Israel because they have forgotten the poor, the widow, and the orphan? This announcement that God's favor looks upon those who are most broken, most invisible, most in need. And so Mary proclaims that this is what God is up to in this moment as he is about to be born into the world. And so I really wanted to emphasize that Mary is a prophet. And you can probably tell by my sermon title, I wanted to play around a little bit with that Christmas song that everyone loves so much and that I love. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know? This beautiful, touching song that ends with, did you know that you were holding in your arms the great I am? And I wanted to say, yeah, she kind of did know. There were some things she didn't know. I don't think she knew that Jesus would one day walk on water or that he would feed thousands of people with just a few loaves of fish, a few loaves of bread and a few fish. I don't think she knew he would stir up the kind of controversy he did or that there would be people who hated him so much that they would bring him before the Roman authorities. I'm not sure she knew he would be executed by the empire. I'm not even sure she knew that he would rise again from the dead. But she knew that her baby boy was the great I am. And she knew that his birth in the world was part of God's great plan of salvation for the whole universe. And she pronounces that word in her Magnificat. So yes, Mary is a prophet. But as I got to that last turn at McCabe and I was heading toward the end of my route, I just was unsettled. It wasn't, usually it just sort of falls into place. It wasn't falling into place, and I felt the Spirit just churning in me, like, you're not done yet, you're not done yet. And I thought and prayed, well, I'm pretty cold and my walk is over, so I'm going to get in the car and I'm going to drive home and I'm just going to trust that you'll show me the way. So I got in the car and I put on my Spotify playlist of Christmas choral music. And the first song that plays is a song called Dormi Jesu. That's not the John Rutter one. It's the Kim Andre Arnonson. Yes, thank you. I told someone wrong after the 8:45 service. So if you want to download it on Spotify, Dormi Jesu, it's a lullaby sung in the voice of Mary. And suddenly I was taken into this profound truth that, yes, Mary was a prophet, and she was also the mother of Jesus. No one else had that role, just her. Just she and Joseph were given the privilege and the task of caring for this little bitty baby who was the Son of God. And it was Mary and Joseph who rocked that child to sleep, who got up at every hour of the night. It was Mary who fed him. It was they who nurtured him and kept him safe and healthy. It was they who took him to Egypt when the political powers of Herod were threatening his life, taking their own lives and putting them at risk. And I thought about those intimate, quiet moments of love and devotion that Mary must have experienced. The way that she was able to love God is profound. And I don't want to miss that. I don't want to forget what she was called to be and to do. But of course, we all know the day came when Mary had to let Jesus go. That part of her love and devotion to her God, and part of her commitment to this vision of what God was doing in the world, in and through all people, she had to let Jesus go. She had to let Jesus be Jesus. She had to let him walk out the door of their home. She had to watch as he preached his first sermon in their hometown synagogue in Nazareth and got dragged and almost thrown over a cliff because they were so offended by what he said. She had to watch as the Pharisees and the elders, whom she had always respected and seen as authorities in her life, turned against her son. She had to watch as he went into the temple and turned over the tables. She had to watch as all of the throngs of the poor and the lost and the tax collectors and the prostitutes circled around him. I don't know if she understood all that was going on, but she had to let Jesus be Jesus. She had to let him go into all of those places on the margins where the poor and the invisible and the outcast and the widow and the orphan were to bring the good news to them. And she had to watch when he got condemned by Pontius Pilate. She had to watch him die on a cross. Her love for him and her love for God was deep enough for her to let him be who he was. We don't see a whole lot of Mary once Jesus becomes an adult. She shows up here and there in various gospels. This morning we heard from Luke's gospel, and we know that she appears one more time in Luke's telling of the story. And it's not until the book of Acts, Luke also wrote the book of Acts, and it's sort of the story of the Holy Spirit beyond Jesus' resurrection. But lo and behold, we find Mary gathered with 120 of other disciples of Jesus after the resurrection. So she now knows that Jesus has overcome death and has risen from the dead. He's now ascended into heaven, and she's gathered with all the other disciples on that day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came pouring out on all of them. And I just want to know, what language did Mary get to speak? And where did the Spirit send her? Maybe back to Nazareth, but maybe somewhere else. We don't know. But we do know that by that point in her life, she has moved from being a mother of Jesus to following on the sidelines to a disciple. And I wonder about us and what we might be able to learn from Mary. I love the Christmas story and thinking about God in the form of a little baby. But as followers of Jesus, we have to let Jesus grow up. We have to let him go. We have to let Jesus be Jesus. And we have to let him lead us into places we may not want to go, on the margins, alongside folks we may not want to be with. We don't know where Jesus will take us. But I pray we can have the faith and courage of Mary to keep showing up where he is and allow his love to transform us. We don't need to defend Jesus. We don't need to bring the Christ back in Christmas. Christ is already set loose in the world and way out in front of us. Our job is to listen and to follow. Mary, did you know? I don't think she knew everything, but she knew enough. Do we? And will we follow?